Hey there, you're about ready to listen to a very special sneak peek of one of our Patreon exclusive shows, What We're Into. This is where Roxy and I discuss the things that we can't fit into our regular podcast episodes, including the latest MCU shows and hits like Atlanta, Winning Time, Better Call Saul, and more. If you'd like to check out more exclusive content like Spider-Versity or watch us record episodes live, you can do that over at patreon.com/onlystupidanswers. Now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to What We're Into. You're like, wait, what is this? That's right, because for those listening on Patreon, this is your normal What We're Into episode, but we're going to also drop this out to the people at home so that they know what they're missing over at patreon.com/onlystupidanswers. My name is DJ Wooldridge. With me, as always, is Roxy Stryer. Hi, Roxy.
Hi, DJ.
God damn it, we have a lot to talk about this week. So again, just so you all know, every week, not only do Roxy and I record a podcast episode that goes up every Monday, we record a bonus episode that's only on Patreon called What We're Into, where we talk about all the shows that we can't talk about, we don't have time to talk about on the main show. But this one is one that we're going to put out to the public, so you all know what that's like. As usual, on the main show, we are going to start with news, because it's a big, gosh dang it, it's a big old news week. Let's start with some fun stuff. We got some not fun stuff to the cover, but let's start with some fun stuff, huh, Roxy?
What's the fun stuff?
Let's talk about that new Thor trailer, Thor, Love and Thunder. The internet, Twitter has been crying out for it, and finally, enough of the VFX were finished that we got one. we got a trailer.
Yeah, not enough of other movies came out that we got a trailer that told us anything about the movie, but enough of the movies finished that it was like, this is coming. I like this trailer. The internet seemed to think this trailer was the bee's knees.
Yeah.
To me, thank you, Winona, for co-signing. We appreciate you. I really like the last Thor. I like Thor. I like the Guardians. The whole purpose of this trailer was like, look at us.
Yeah.
Look at who's in this movie. It's like, mm-hmm.
Well, something I liked about it, I liked it too. It probably helps that a lot of my favorite TV shows in the past few years since Thor Ragnarok are shows that Taika Waititi produces. But something I liked about this trailer is I like how like character focused it is. It's like, hey, here's Thor. He doesn't know what he's doing with his life. Cool. Thank you, movie. Like, yeah, what is Thor doing? Because normally Marvel movies are very like IP focused. Like, how are we expanding the IP? And there's that too, but it saves it for the end, which I think is a really good stinger. And of course, I'm talking about Natalie Portman's goddamn fucking biceps, baby. She has been hitting the gym.
Yo, if that didn't motivate me, I don't know what will.
Yeah, she's doing all right. I've got a couple questions for you, Roxy, but we got a couple questions from the Discord. Do you think, this is from Jake Hefner, do you think Thor Love and Thunder will adapt the Jane Foster cancer storyline? Do you think they should? For those at home that don't remember, and I'm not as brushed up on the Jane Foster Thor stuff, but I know while she was Thor, she was also dealing with cancer. And I want to say she didn't deal with the cancer issues when she, you know, was full on Thor'd out, but it also, when she became a normal person again, it made it worse every time she Thor'd up. I want to say that was the situation. And I'm kind of the opinion that I don't think they will, and I don't think they should for the same reason, in that the MCU is not traditionally equipped to handle tricky stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm the same way, DJ. I think no one know, because it to just throw that in there would be like not cool. Mm-hmm. So you would have to really flesh it out, spend time there, and I don't think that they're like ready to do that.
Yeah, they should have given her own Disney Plus show prior to this if they wanted to like go there.
It would have made more sense than a lot of the Disney Plus shows that they did give to people.
I don't disagree. We're getting an Agatha show. Anyway, this one's from Danny. Do you think Gore, because the villain we know, had not mentioned in this trailer at all, but from press stuff, from casting, we know Christian Bale is playing Gore the God Butcher, who in the comics butchers gods. That's his bit. So Danny says, do you think Gore is coming to kill the pantheon of Egyptian gods we're introduced to in Moon Knight? I think people are falling into the same trap we've fallen into every Disney Plus show, where they think there's going to be some like major tie-in at the end and another character from another movie is going to show up.
What was the big one that we thought in
Mephisto? We thought Mephisto we thought a lot in WandaVision, because WandaVision was first out of the gate, so we thought Mr. Fantastic was going to show up.
Yeah, that was a great one that we
thought. We thought Mephisto was going to show up, and I think in hindsight, Gore at least makes a little bit more sense in that that person is cast. Like we know,
and we're closer to that date, I guess.
And logistically, it makes sense. It's gods. It's clear. It feels clear to me after watching Moon Knight that Marvel does not have any plans for the other Egyptian. here they are, whatever.
So everybody's caught up on Moon Knight to where we're caught up to?
Yes, as of this Wednesday.
Yeah, so, wow, DJ, we got 2 more episodes of that show.
We sure do. We sure do. Somebody asked me on Twitter, I don't think I responded, are you going to watch the last 2 episodes? I'm like, yeah, I'm already 4 in. What are you? Yeah, of course. And there's I still have hope that it'll become the show I want it to be.
You're not going to just not watch Moon Knight.
Yeah, it's still my favorite Marvel character. I'm going to watch it. It's going to keep hurting me, but I'm going to keep watching it.
Come on, internet. You're better than that. Yeah. Come on.
So do you think we're going to get an after credit scene of Gore butchering some gods?
I don't.
Also, what kind of money would they have to give Christian Bale to show up on a stinger on a TV show?
A lot.
Yeah. Because I'm still like, how did they get him for this movie? He just must be a big fan of like Jojo Rabbit or something, right?
How much money do you have to give Harry Styles to come as a stinger on something, though?
Yeah, but that was at least one of your big tentpole movies. It wasn't like at the back end of WandaVision, Harry Styles is like sliding in saying hi.
You know that after Coachella weekend one, I am so in love with him, it hurts.
No, I don't. Roxy, I don't do that. Come on.
DJ, it's not that I ever had anything against Harry Styles. I always like him, and he's made some really cool choices as an artist, but he brought Shania Twain on stage with him to do Man, I Feel Like a Woman and another song too. And he was in this like rainbow sequin onesie, and the two of them together. Oh my God, DJ, he's so hot.
No, I just feel bad. So I feel like, and this is probably not fair to anybody, but I feel like he stole Olivia Wilde from Jason Sudeikis, and I just watched Ted Lasso. So, you know,
what happened though?
Great question. I have no idea. We'll get into this more, but maybe we shouldn't invest so much energy into celebrities. This is going to be a theme in a minute. Question for you, Roxy. And this has been something. I've had mixed feelings about the Jane Foster Thor situation, even in the comics, and it's just purely logistical pedantic bullshit. So it doesn't matter. But it's because like when Sam Wilson got the Captain America shield, he didn't become Steve Rogers; he became Captain America. Like it was, and at least in the comics, when Thor was originally introduced, it was Donald Blake picks up the hammer and becomes Thor. So we've introduced the idea that person becomes Thor.
Thor is the mantle. I get it.
How? So when I watched the trailer, I was like, first off, Natalie Portman was wasted in Thor 1 and 2. Of course she should be headlining a Marvel movie. If it's Thor, more power to her. She's clearly doing the work. I think Natalie Portman's incredible. Let's do the same thing with Rachel McAdams and Doctor Strange. Let her become Doctor Strange. You know what I mean? There's just these actresses in these movies that I just feel like we're wasting their potential as the love interest.
Yeah, remember, I didn't even remember that Rachel McAdams was in Doctor Strange.
Yeah, because she's so fucking talented, and she's entirely wasted that movie. Anyway, So how do you think we're going to solve this situation? Because am I led to believe, the impression I've been given, and this is not a variant, this is the Jane Foster we know. And so when I saw the trailer, I'm like, oh, you know what they'll probably do is that we see that her hammer is Thor's broken Mjolnir. I'm not even going to get into the fact that there's just no stakes in any of these Marvel movies. Every major thing we do, we fix. The shield gets broken, it gets fixed. The hammer gets broken, it's fixed, whatever. She has busted ass Mjolnir. And so she's probably been running around on Earth while Thor's finding himself. And people on Earth saw the hair, saw the armor, saw the hammer, was like, Thor. And I was like, that's fine. Let's just do that and move on. But then I had to think about, wait, I have also been led to believe that Jane Foster and Thor had a not great breakup. And so she's just running around okay with people calling her by her ex's name.
Yeah.
Maybe. Right? That's weird, right?
I wouldn't be.
Yeah, I don't think anybody would be. So how do you think we're going to resolve? How is she the mighty Thor is the question I'm asking. I'm not asking why she's worthy. Of course she's worthy. No questions there. Just the logistics of why are we calling her Thor?
I don't know. I guess because the lady part in front of it.
Sure. I mean, sure.
No, it's like a cuter nickname. I don't know. Why do we... Yeah. I'm trying to think of any other character because I'm like, okay, Hulk was She-Hulk.
But again, it's not. She's not Bruce Banner.
Bruce Banner, exactly. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Cool. At least I'm not alone. Because I don't want people to I'm mad that there's a lady Thor. That is not it at all. Don't care about
that. Spider Gwen.
Well, again, and then she's Spider Woman. Yeah. None of that matters.
Are there any other? Well, can't even think of any other ones that their name is just their name.
The closest would be now. Originally, Shazam was Captain Marvel, and when he said Shazam, he became Captain Marvel, and because...
Yeah, but he's still...
Billy Batson. Yeah, great point. Yeah, so he's still becoming...
Somebody
else. Yeah, Thor is just weird because it's Thor's Thor. He's Thor.
Is there any other... I legit can't think of any other superhero that's name is...
I'm sure in the chat, I never check the chat. Let us know in the chat if you guys can think of any superhero.
This would be the equivalent of somebody, I guess, if a man was like Lois Lane. It's just her name.
Yeah, I've picked up the hammer now. I am Lois Lane.
Now I am Lois Lane.
With the added caveat that they were very serious with Lois Lane, broke up, messy breakup, not on good terms. And now is just running around letting people call them Lois Lane. It's like, what?
Does Thor have any other name?
Well, again, not in the movies. In the comics, it's Donald Blake is his supposedly his human identity. But that's messy. That's messy.
Yeah, it's weird.
And we get a nod to that in Thor 1. But yeah, Thor is just Thor. Whatever. We're assuming that it's not a variant. It could be. You know what I mean? We've got Loki. We've got Sylvie running around. But even Sylvie's not running around as Loki. She's running around as Sylvie. Whatever. I'm sure it'll be fine. And I'm sure...
But that's weird, too, because Lady Loki. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I think it'll be one of those things like a Marvel movie where in the moment in the movie, I'm like, that's fine. And then I'll spend 2 seconds thinking about it and be like, wait, that doesn't make any sense. I have faith because again, like you, Roxy, really like Ragnarok. And I like Our Flag Means Death and What We Do in the Shadows. And
maybe they'll make a nod to it. Maybe she'll be like, why do I have to be Thor?
Yeah, maybe she'll be like, this sucks. Don't call me Thor. Let's move on to some less fun stuff because why not? Life is short. Why not dwell on bad things? Roxy, I'm hoping you're more informed about this than I am. I have seen, of course, the Johnny Depp trial trending on Twitter. I don't know why we're able to just watch this. It feels like a private thing to me, but whatever.
They're able to watch like 12 hours of this.
Yeah, it's like on Court TV, right?
Yeah.
Wow. Anyway, I'm hoping you're at least formed enough to help inform. All I know is the rhetoric online. That I see. And what I see is a lot of men going, yeah, take that evil witch down. And it makes me have a very specific opinion about all of this.
Yeah, so I'm going to give you guys some facts of the case.
Please.
And then we can talk a little bit about it. But so this is a defamation case because after Amber Heard took Johnny Depp to court, Johnny Depp since then has lost his job on Fantastic Beasts.
Yeah.
Amber Heard has kept her job on Aquaman 2.
Yes.
And now Johnny Depp is suing her for defamation. And he's making the claims that he has never, will never, have never abused a woman before.
Mm.
That is what he's saying, that those claims are categorically false.
Bold.
He said that the entire purpose of this trial is to get down to the truth, that anybody who knows him knows that the number one thing he cares about in the world is the truth. Here are some of the big things that have come out during this trial. We are taping this Friday, April 22nd. Mm-hmm. I'm saying at 11 a.m.
AM PST.
Because this is happening fast. And if you look at the discourse online, you're absolutely correct, DJ, that the internet seems to be wholeheartedly on Johnny Depp's side, both men and women. I am seeing, I would say about 90% of the internet seems to be on Johnny Depp's side.
I feel like that says something about us, but I'm not, we'll keep going.
So here are some things that have come out. We had heard a lot about this severed finger situation.
Yes.
In the initial trial. And the picture that has now been painted is that Amber Heard threw a bottle mm-hmm. at Johnny Depp, and Johnny Depp had his finger felt warm. He didn't really feel pain. And then he looked down and the bottle had sliced off the tip of his finger, and okay. he was looking at his bone.
Mm.
So that is what happened there, as previously had been described, as she chopped off part of his finger.
Yes.
That is now how he has described the situation to take place. I guess he then got a severe infection in his finger as well.
Mm.
So that came out. And there was also footage that came out of Amber Heard saying, tell the people I abused you. Nobody will believe you. Go ahead and try. So that's footage that we have now seen. And as of yesterday, when he was cross-examined, we got a couple new pieces of information too. Line of questioning was about Johnny Depp and Paul Bettany. And Paul Bettany, apparently the line of questioning is, have you done drugs with Paul Bettany? To which Johnny Depp responds, yes. They ask which specific drugs. He says alcohol and cocaine. They ask if it's also Xanax and Adderall. He says he doesn't recall. They pull up a previous testimony of him saying he has given him both of those drugs. And then they reveal text messages that Johnny Depp sent to Paul Bettany that say, this is on June 11th, 2013. Let's burn Amber. Let's drown her before we burn her. I will fuck her burnt corpse afterwards to make sure she's dead. That is an actual text that he sent to Paul Bettany. And then they also revealed texts that he had sent to Marilyn Manson.
Cool. God damn it. How did all of Hollywood not collude to be like, no, we can't let this trial happen. This is going to burn all of us.
They're pulling in a lot of celebrities here.
Elon Musk is supposed to.
Yeah. They pulled in text to Marilyn Manson saying, talking about smacking the ugly bitch around before I let her in. It was unclear if that was about Amber Heard or somebody else.
Hey, well, listen, with Marilyn Manson, we've opened up that Pandora's box. We know it could mean a whole litany of people.
Right. So it seems to me like those are facts. Those are things that were presented as facts proven. It seems to me like Amber Heard's Johnny Depp's team, for the first several days of the trial, painted a picture, had Johnny Depp take the stand. They painted a picture in which Johnny Depp reveals and speaks about how he was brutally abused as a child by his mother.
Okay.
And that he would never do to anybody what his mother did to him and his siblings, mm-hmm. in which he recalls several incidences in which he was both verbally and physically abused. And then says that his mother, the only times his father ever abused him, which he said his father was like a saint, was when he would beat him with the belt because his mother would make his father do that. So it seems like their case has been built around finding sympathy for Johnny Depp and showing by the fact that he was abused that he would never be an abuser.
Because that's not how things work.
Right. But that was a big part of their case.
Uh-huh.
Now, Amber, and also tearing Amber Heard down, a lot of which is justifiably so. There's a lot of footage of her doing things, saying things that are extremely verbally abusive. Then Amber Heard's team released footage of Johnny Depp after saying he's never been violent or abusive towards a woman. Amber Heard recorded him in the kitchen, slamming all of the cabinets, then running over to her, pouring a massive glass of wine He's like seemingly really distraught, yelling at her, finds the camera, rips it away from her, and like starts running. You kind of hear things. Mm-hmm. So their team is trying to show an abusive man who did do the things she's saying. And they're doing this by trying to come at his character via text message and footage, none of which so far has actually been of him physically abusing her. So I think that we're in for a really long, this could be weeks, and we're in for a really tough battle, because it is, we're talking about, you know, parents here. We're talking about celebrities. We're talking about an entire people who have lived on the planet for a long time, who have friends who are other celebrities. Like I did feel for Paul Bettany in that situation where like,
yeah, bro, why are you involving me in this, man? Come on.
What's he supposed to do? Yeah. You know, he's being asked on the stand, what drugs did you do with Paul Bettany?
Yeah.
Like, what is he supposed to say? So not, I'm not saying that he's the Vic Paul Bettany is like, oh my God, woe is him.
No, but it's like, but that's the thing. It's such a, like, I can't imagine anybody in Hollywood. Like, it feels like it's pulling everybody in. It's like, no, man, I don't need to.
Yeah. Why? So the
discourse, I could be getting a new Vision Disney Plus show. Don't pull me into this.
The discourse online has been primarily, from what I have seen, very pro Johnny Depp in show, and people believing that Amber Heard has been abusive to him and that he has been wrongfully accused of being abusive. Based on the footage we've seen so far, I will say that it seems so far like neither of these are people that you would want to be in a relationship with. And I guess that would be the simplest way to describe it as of now. It seemed like they had an extremely tumultuous relationship. Johnny Depp also paints a picture in his testimony of Amber Heard not letting him have his medications, of Amber Heard not letting him go to sleep at night. She would like keep him up all night and he would beg to go to sleep, and she would say he was not able to or not able to take his meds. Amber Heard's team paints a picture of which Johnny Depp is a drug addict and an alcoholic, and that she's begging him to get sober and stop taking things. So
yeah,
every single situation is being depicted differently depending on what side you're on. And for some reason, the internet seems to be very, very clearly on one person's side.
Yeah. Not surprised by that. So this isn't going to change anybody. It doesn't matter how this court case ends. This isn't going to change anybody's opinions, right?
I don't know. The internet is like doing really strange things right now. I guess there's theories that Amber Heard is wearing the whatever outfit Johnny Depp wears, wearing like a similar outfit the next day to mentally fuck with him. You know, people have such like conspiracy theories on what's going on that I can't imagine that facts will change opinion.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think Warner Brothers, speaking of our story we're going to get to, Warner Brothers is in an interesting spot here because they have already fired Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
And now they have Amber Heard and Ezra Miller to deal with. Mm-hmm. And if they keep Johnny Depp fired, but they don't fire Amber Heard, that's either them saying, we believe that Johnny was abusive to Amber, but Amber was not abusive to Johnny.
Yeah.
Or it's them saying, we believe that Johnny was abusive to Amber and Amber was abusive to Johnny, but a woman being abusive to a man is different than a man being abusive to a woman.
Yeah.
So I think that they're in a really tough spot. That one of the questions asked to Johnny Depp, I watched like 8 hours of this trial.
Oh my God. God bless.
One of the questions that was asked to him was, they said, would you say you're much larger in stature than Amber Heard is, correct? And he says, I wouldn't say that. So it's like we're not even agreeing that he's bigger than she is.
He's older, he's arguably more influential, he's got more. I feel like my opinion on it, does it even matter? It doesn't. I think my opinion is informed by the way the internet is reacting. And it's like, I am not saying that a woman cannot abuse a man, that they obviously can. I feel like Johnny Depp's more powerful and influential. I have trouble imagining, whatever. It doesn't matter. It, like you said, Roxy, I think the point is, at the very least, it seems incredibly tumultuous. And I think if Warner Brothers were to keep Amber Heard, I feel like the answer would be like, listen, not to get into the weeds, but Johnny Depp was a problem on set too. So it's not just about this situation. It was just a working relationship. Anyway, whatever. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. The internet yesterday, there was a video of Johnny Depp talking about his desire to hurt himself, and he's crying while he's watching it. And Amber Heard's team is the one that insisted that the video be played, and the internet took that as like, good job, Amber Heard. You now have proven that you drove him to this place that he wanted to hurt himself. It's been really wild to watch the discourse. And I'm not saying that I don't even know what happened. I'm not sure what happened.
And I don't think we will know, because like you said, everybody's presenting a different thing. It's like, we won't know the truth from this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, it's just, you know, even now, as I look through Twitter, it's tough to read. It's tough to read the love, the undying love people have for Johnny Depp. And they're absolutely certain that Amber Heard is the problem.
I think part of it is love for Johnny Depp. I think the impression I've been given, whether this is accurate or not, is also this feels like the inevitable backlash to all the Me Too stuff. Like an attempt. A lot of the discourse I've seen, it feels like at least partially an attempt to dismantle some of the progress made there, which I don't like personally, but you know, like you, we were talking about just earlier, it's the learning how to like sparse out these things. And like you were talking about the levels, the gauging level, whatever. I don't know. I don't even know what I'm saying anymore.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I think it's really hard to talk about because also, we don't know exactly what happened, so you don't want to accuse anybody of anything that's not true.
Yeah.
No matter who that is. Yeah. So we'll see how the trial goes. Because we really could be in this for weeks.
Cool. Yay. A perfect note to end on. Let's just touch on this next part briefly, because I don't know what else there is to say. Ezra Miller's in the news again. They got arrested again.
Yeah, they did. They not only did Ezra Miller get arrested again, but they got arrested in Hawaii again.
Again.
Which
I was texting with Sam, and he was like, we need to get them off the island. I'm like, oh, well, counterpoint. Maybe we need to keep them on that. Maybe that's what's containing them right now.
So apparently this time they had been at a house party a friend's house, so an acquaintance's house, a person's house.
Yes.
And there was somebody else at the house, a woman who's 26. And we don't know the surrounding details of it, but Ezra Miller picked up a chair and chucked it at this woman's head and gashed open her head. And then was arrested again. So, you know, I don't know the legality of this. I don't know what it's called. But to me, I mean, I believe that's assault with a deadly weapon. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, you throw a chair at somebody, you could definitely kill them. You could definitely take their eye out.
Yeah.
You could fuck up their whole life. So that's a problem. Warner Brothers still has not addressed anything.
They're hoping to go away. Listen, we're going to let Ezra Miller keep being in movies until they decide to slap somebody at the Oscars. Then it'll be a problem.
It's insane, Hollywood's. This is what I'm talking about with having like a first, second, and third degree or some kind of, because why does Will Smith slap somebody, but because it's at the Oscars, something happens.
It's like a crime against humanity.
Right, but because Ezra Miller chucks a chair at a woman, and that's not to say nothing's going to happen, but with Will's, action happened really fast. Ezra Miller choked a woman 2.5 years ago.
Yeah. I just saw a headline. I didn't click on it, but it was like a BuzzFeed, like, Ezra Miller's been a problem for a while. Like, here's a timeline. I'm like, oh my God. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know what Warner Brothers is going to do, but I think that the only option is the worst option is doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
They can't do nothing, or it seems that this will continue to be an issue.
I would imagine you need to do something. Well, listen, well, stay tuned until next time with more Ezra news. This feels like a cry to help. Like they're just going to keep committing crimes until somebody stops them.
Yeah, straight up. That's what it seems like today.
And then we don't have time to get into all this, but you just literally before we started recording, you just told me about Mike Tyson beating up somebody on a plane, which apparently you don't need to wear a mask on anymore. Cool. Bill Murray having issues with stuff, and just like, you know, everybody, celebrities are people too, but they're people that we give wild amount of power to, and maybe we should just let them be people.
Yeah, the Bill Murray thing, man, made me so bummed to go down that rabbit hole.
I don't want to think about it.
I'm curious what happened. We haven't heard what happened on the set. We just heard inappropriate behavior.
Yeah.
I talked about this a little bit on my show, but I thought it was very strange that they kept saying that this was a movie that was with Aziz Ansari and Seth Rogen, but they keep saying Aziz Ansari and Seth Rogen are not involved in whatever this was.
Yeah, they didn't have a problem with it. I'm like, well, of course they didn't. I don't. Yeah. Why are we specifying that?
Yeah, it's so weird. But also at the same time, none of the reports are mentioning Kiki Palmer, who's the lead female in this. And I don't want to jump to conclusions, but to me, what happened with Kiki?
Who, by the way, is great. She is great stuff. Awesome. I'm excited to see her in Nope. I think she's really fantastic.
Yeah. So I think that companies try to do damage control before they release information, but it's like maybe what we're thinking is worse than what actually happened because we're in an age in which we've seen the worst happen. So I don't know if it helps these companies to have our minds wander for these movies. We'll see.
Oh, goodness. We'll see. And then there's the whole ease of it all, whatever. Okay. So that's it for news. Yay. News fun. Here's something more uplifting. So on Patreon, patreon.com/onlystupidanswers, if you're part of the producer tier, you now have the ability to vote on what I will be into each month. And it can either be a movie, you all will vote on it. It can be either a movie or two episodes of show. And for the first time doing this ever, Roxy suggested it. You all followed her suggestion. And woo! I watched F-Boy Island. And Roxy,
which episodes, DJ?
The first two. I dipped my toes in. Nikki Glaser, is that the comedian
she's
host?
She's awesome, right?
I don't. So I don't watch reality TV.
Yeah.
So I don't know how often they do this, but I think the smartest choice they made was hiring an honest-to-God comic to host it. Yes. However you feel about her stand-up, her hosting it, great choice. And truthfully, if it was just her roasting these people for like... Roxy, both these episodes are 50 minutes. Why are they 50 minutes?
Yeah, they're long.
They're so long. Why? Anyway, sorry. We have a question from Leonard Kim that I'll get us kicked off with. He says, how are you feeling about the male subspecies after watching F-Boy Island? And I'll say not great, but also not so great about the female either. If I'm being candid. As somebody that doesn't watch reality TV, Roxy, is this standard? Okay. Because it feels like we're gunning for a very thin subsect of like America.
Yeah, but what's not standard is like the part where we like ostracize them to their own hut thing. Because I was like, is this scripted? What's happening here? Are they actually staying here? Like, I don't really get this part of the show. So that part's not standard.
Okay. So as somebody that didn't finish the first season, and probably won't, let's be honest, do we do anything with that, or do we just leave them over there?
They make them see therapists when they're there.
That could have been something introduced in the first couple episodes. I feel like I might have stuck around for that. Again, if it was just Nikki Glaser roasting,
but sometimes Nikki Glaser is the therapist.
Good, so that I would watch. Just give me those clips.
Okay.
All right. Because it feels like very much like, okay, we went to a club and got these people, because this isn't like, this is a very specific subset of Americans are populating this show.
Yeah.
Also, first impressions. So the gimmick is F-boys and nice guys. Mm-hmm. And listen, there might be some nice guys in there, but also it's like, but you're all sorry, you're all douchebags. you're all, it's I not like looking at your that, bodies. It's yeah. like, it's not like any of these guys are going to come out like, well, you know, late stage capitalism, or like I was reading Walt Whitman the other day. It's like, that's not who we're talking about here.
It's weird because it's also self-proclaimed. It's like not based on like all your exes voted and you're this or that.
Yeah. Like, and they're all like CPAs or TikTok influencers. Like, well,
yeah,
you're all a specific type of guy. I don't know that the degrees between F-boy and nice guy. There was that one guy. The one thing that genuinely I thought was genuinely compelling was that one guy that I guess said he was an F-boy and was like, no, now I'm a nice guy. And literally nobody knew what to do with that. And he doesn't even. At the end of the episode, he doesn't end up in the he just disappears. I'm like, yeah, get that guy. What the fuck's going on with that?
I'm a nice guy.
Yeah.
They're like, no, you're not.
Yeah, you're like a sociopath. Get him the fuck out of here. He might kill somebody.
That was crazy. That was really weird. I agree with you. That was nuts. I was getting dinner with a friend a couple of months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And at dinner, these guys at a different table sent us over drinks. And I looked up and it was one of the guys from F-Boy Island.
Oh, shit.
The blonde one, spoiler for you, DJ, he ends up going all the way to the end of the show.
Wait, the one that is very – because I saw what they were doing. They're like, okay, some of these guys we're going to designate right off the bat. This guy's an F-Boy. But some of them were like, God, it blew my mind. So we have CJ. And I think of the girls, CJ's – clearly the standout because she's just an agent of chaos. Like she's like, don't call me toxic, but I want a boy that's going to find it funny when I say the police arrested me. And like, who are you anyway? And she falls in love with a guy that is also named CJ. And she thinks that's cute. And it's like, what, why would you want some, we just went over this in Thor. Why would you want somebody with the same name? They're clearly leaving it for later to find out, is he an F boy or a nice guy? But you're talking about blonde guy. That's like, I'm an F boy.
Yes. Cool. Yes. Yes. And we actually ended up talking for a while, not like just me and him, but group of the table or whatever. And I just was like, my friends that I was with had no idea. They hadn't watched the show. They'd never even heard of it at the time. It had like just come out and they, whatever it was, but I had seen it, which I didn't let him know because I didn't want to boost his ego more.
He doesn't need it.
I was just trying to suss him out. Just like, who are you actually? And how does this actually work? And to be honest, he was like, kind of shy and sweet, and I was like, I don't know what to think about people anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, what, when are we acting, when are we not? Is this acting, is that acting, is this a cat, like what? I don't know. Life is F-Boy Island.
Life is F-Boy Island. Well, and I see the appeal because you find yourself, I would imagine this is part of it, because you find yourself like, what would I do in this situation? How would I, you know, whatever. There's that kind of like audience investment through that. But I also found it hard to like root for anybody.
Totally. Of course. Of course.
Like who am I rooting for in this situation? Like the one girl, I don't remember their names other than CJ, because again, she falls in love with somebody that has the same name as her. Like the blonde.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah. The blonde, I think it's the blonde, like, cause they give wristbands to people. And for the first night, and then like one guy gets up to get her a drink and the other wristband guy comes in and she's like, that was really forceful and kind of rude and I'm into it. And then like one of the nice guys who was all whatever, he comes in like, hey, he comes to her show like, hey, I want to spend time with you. And she's like, that was too forward. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? It's not it's because you think one's cute and the other one's cute. Don't pretend that there's like an equation to this. It's you thought one guy is attractive, so it doesn't matter what he does, and the other guy's not.
The weirdest part of the show, DJ,
please,
is at the end. At the end of the show, like, you know, they're giving money to the person. Like, if you can trick them into thinking, like, at the end, if you're not a nice guy, if you're an F boy, and they come to you and they pick you at the end. And you can either choose them or the money, right? You can choose to beat them or the money. And it's a lot of money. I think it was like $50,000 or something.
Yeah.
So two of the guys choose the money, but then the show says that money that you chose now isn't for you. It's for charity.
Oh, shit.
And it's like, we're all kind of like, okay, I guess that's a come up, but also like, where are the rules of this game?
Yeah, I feel like that's something you should let me know as an audience member. Yes, those are the stakes. Those are the stakes.
Why are we not in on any of the...
Yeah, the stakes are...
Like, say to us, what they don't know is that the money actually is going to go to charity.
Yeah.
Because as they reveal, I was like, what?
You know, now maybe I should just skip to the last episode just to see who ends up with who. There's one guy, I can't remember his fucking name. I don't know. He's some blonde banker dude. And it's like, that motherfucker is a serial killer. He's giving me mad Dexter vibes. This guy, yeah. Look out for this guy. I don't trust him. Anyway, did you have any questions for me about F-Boy Island before we move on?
Is it going to make you watch more or less reality TV?
It is not going to change my consumption of reality TV, which is none. Which is none of it.
Maybe less than none.
None of it. No. No, thank you. So thank you all, the patrons, the producer patrons, who voted on that, on having me watch that. There will be a new poll.
Good job, guys. Good job.
You'll also be able to pick episode topics as well. So if you want to have more control over the show, please jump over to the producer tier and be a part of that. Before we touch on this, I do want to talk about Better Call Saul because I love it. But I would rather take a second to talk about something, shows we both watched.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Atlanta. We're both caught up on Atlanta. This past episode, Al gets invited to basically, God damn it, that opening is so fucking funny with the Central Park 5 shirt. What the fuck? Yeah. Basically, there's a European fashion company that's woefully out of touch, shocker. And they basically invite Al and a bunch of other black celebrities within the Atlanta universe to do damage control for them, is essentially what happens. Oh, Roxy, what are you thinking about this season so far?
I love it. I love this season so much. I've seen some people say that this season fell off for them, and it so has not for me. I thought the last couple of episodes just I loved the three episodes ago with what happens if somebody just tries to sue you for what your family did to their family, enslaving them. I loved last week's episode, and I love this episode. I think that they're all super poignant. This one I thought was great because it is such a moral conundrum that Paperboy has worked his whole life to get to where he is.
Yeah.
And now you're in this position and people want to use you to show that they are not racist. And they want you to be like a spokesperson on their board, all of that. And he's struggling with that. And it's like, do you not take the perks of what you've worked for to stand up for what's right? I don't know. I don't know if you take the perks or you don't, because you're also a black man who just, like, the point is to help, but you also have now been elevated. So I really felt for him. And I really love that final scene that we get with him and that other guy who's on the board. Who's like, I think we were looking at that guy like he was
a problem.
Yeah. And then he's like, this is what I do.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh shit, man. Like, that makes sense. And we can't really judge what people's choices are in their positions. Some of them we can, but some of them it's challenging. So I just thought it was really, really good. And then, you know, he even asks Earn, what would you do? And that's different than what he would do, which is different than what this other guy does, which is different than what the light-skinned black guy who he's
God, that was so fucking funny. It's like, are you so black? Because for those that didn't watch the episode, there's this guy on the board that they ask if he's black. And if you're watching the video, the guy, my complexion, but with like blue eyes. And it's like, yeah, man, he could be. He very well could be.
Yeah,
but it's one of those, like, and he starts using the N-word. And I was like, yeah, it doesn't sound right. It doesn't sound.
Yeah, that's the thing about these episodes, why I'm loving this season is it's so poignant.
Yeah.
There are moments in every episode like that where I'm like, this is hysterical.
Yep.
Like, this is so funny. How are you getting away with this shit?
I'm thinking of the blackface in episode 2.
Yeah. Oh my God. And me immediately Googling, like, is this a real thing?
Do they do this?
Yeah, there are things that this show does that I feel like no other show can get away with.
100%.
You know, it is just so funny. And I don't know how you're feeling about this season, DJ, but this is just really landing for me.
I love it. There's a couple. I wasn't the two episodes back, the one off about reparations. I thought was good. I thought it felt like the first episode of the season that felt like it was written 4 years ago, because it's not quite as funny as the other episodes. It's not quite as scary. And because there are elements where it feels like, because we're from, what is it, Justin Bartha's perspective, that it has like a horror movie feel.
But did it not make you think?
Well, I feel like we've had the conversation about reparations, and it's like, and the show's like, yeah, we should do this. And I'm like, well, yeah. I mean, I can't imagine anybody watching Atlanta that would be like, well, should. It's like, well, I mean, yeah. And also, it wouldn't work this way. It'd be the government. It'd be tax. It wouldn't be like.
That's why I thought this was. It did have its finger on the pulse, because it wasn't talking about the government.
Yeah.
Like when we see that people have to go and out of their paychecks a certain amount, it's like,
yeah,
still the government fucking the people, because.
I mean, that is a good point, that they would be like, no, we're not going to foot this bill. Are you kidding me?
You guys
That's a good
it.
Point. That's
it,
a good point.
You know, like I just was watching it and I was like, oh my God, what a nightmare. Like this is, because I'm with you. Nobody's sitting there being like, no, she does not deserve that money. Mm-hmm. But also like the government's like, then you fucking give it to her. And it's like, well,
yeah.
I don't know that I deserve to not have the money.
I mean, I do like specific, that's a very good point. I do like specific Atlanta moments. Like when the guy shoots himself, the guy gives a very like, kind of like not impassioned, but like rational, like, hey, this is why it's okay. And then he goes and blows his brains out.
Yeah. Yes. You're watching it. I was like crazy to watch. I get though why it's not. I don't love any episode that doesn't have our characters.
Yeah. And it just felt a little soon. Like I love that first episode, but it's a little soon. I was honestly a little worried with this episode when we started with the fashion people. I'm like, wait,
Me too. I was like, oh, we're not going to be with them again. I was like, oh, that's something this season, because we know. But I mean, let's be real. Think about these four stars on our show.
Yeah.
We're barely seeing Zazie, like,
mm-hmm.
because everybody's booked and busy.
What are we doing there?
I don't know.
How am I, as an audience member, how am I? Because I feel like she makes a very good, I feel like she makes a very good point. I feel like is what we're going for is that, well, Earn, you get to go off and do all these things. Why can't I? Which is a good point. Except also,
does your mother know where you are? Loved that line.
I like that, but also so because the implication is that Earn is not investing in her personhood, but also your child is a person, and so somebody, it's unfair to your parents to somebody needs to be taking care of that kid, and I feel like there's a way to make that point without abandoning your child. And I'm worried the show is like, I should be on Team Van. And it's like, no, I think Van's kind of being a problem. And she's our one female character. And I feel weird about that.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm also with, like, I thought this was a really interesting choice as I was sitting there. And I was like, I think she stole the wig.
I do. Well, like, because again, all season, all we've seen is like, you're being kind of being a problem.
Sketchy.
Which does not make the white lady not fucking crazy.
Crazy, you know, because like all you want is for that hotel to throw her out and everybody be like, you're crazy, you're sitting there like, how the fuck, what, this woman came and hunted you down? Yeah. Nuts.
And it's not her store, you're not stealing right. from her, she has no right. skin in the game, like what are you doing?
That was crazy, and I loved that. I loved how we handled that. But when Earn asked at the end, you know, they're like kissing, did you take the wig? I was like, I'm with you. Like,
yeah.
Like, did you? Because what your behavior you're exhibiting is like,
it's erratic. At best, it's erratic. I also, before we get off of Atlanta, I do want to mention I love this episode. Previous episode is so fucking good. It's such the way they took the, like, within the context of Atlanta, we're going to do a police interrogation scene.
Unbelievable.
And take it to that surreal, like when the guy starts talking about stuff that only the person with the phone would theoretically know, but the implication is that he's had experiences similar to Al, and then he like sings the song, like the actor they got, like, not to like be
the
compare
song.
Stuff the song's song. So good, but like that the Batman Joker clip, the deleted Joker clip from the Batman, I was like, this is the energy you should be going for, because like, I don't know what this guy's deal is. Like, what do you do with this person?
And as I mentioned, those moments that only this show can get away with that have me cackling, laughing because they're so awful. When he searches the cancer kid, I was like, the Make-A-Wish kid, I was like, no. No,
no, it's for Al. No. Let him do it.
Let him do it.
Oh, and then, who's the white guy that was traveling with them? That it was like, oh, this guy got to stick around. I don't know why. And then he ends up being the guy that stole the phone. But when they all look at each other, like, he was about ready to say it, right? He was gonna, and they're like, yeah,
God, because I when I heard it, I thought that, and then I was like, was that just like a mistake? And then they all acknowledge it, and I was like, oh my god, fuck. Oh my god.
So good. I feel incredibly blessed to have Better Call Saul and Atlanta on my TV at the same time, only a few weeks after Severance left the air. It's like, what the fuck is happening?
Well, I don't watch Better Call Saul. I know I'm behind. I only watched the first season. It was excellent. I don't know what happened to me, but I'm so grateful to Atlanta. It's insane.
Roxy, catch up on Better Call Saul.
Is it great, DJ?
Oh, it's so good. It's so, these first two episodes are so fucking
good. This is the final season, right?
It is, and it's so good. Good. So I'm just going to answer, since you didn't watch it, I'm just going to touch on it real quick, except to say the first two episodes dropped this week and they're so they're so good. And we have a couple questions. Davey Backwards Dab says, are you interested on any Breaking Bad characters to be in this season of Better Call Saul? Story or just cameo? If so, who would they be? I don't need it because I think the show has done a good job of not doing that. However, based on where we're at and information we know from Breaking Bad, I have a feeling it kind of needs to overlap because the character of Lalo is mentioned in Breaking Bad. That said, they introduced a little like extra bonus material. That's one of those, Roxy, you know, those true crime, like a Forensic Files, like this person went to jail for this thing. They did that for like an in-universe version for Saul. And the implication from that is that Better Call Saul is happening in like 1992 or 95, which it's kind of
too early for it.
Yeah. Did you watch Breaking Bad?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so it's like in the final season when you found out that all the previous four or five seasons all taking place in a year, and you're like, it's that similar thing.
Like that made the cancer make more sense, but it made everything else make less sense.
Yeah, it was like, are you sure you want to commit? Is that your final answer? Like, this, it's like they have older cell phones, but I don't know that they're 1992 old cell phones. I don't need somebody to show up, but I'm all for it. Sisigeta asks, do you have predictions on how you think Better Call Saul will end? Well, what will happen to the characters we never see in Breaking Bad, such as Kim, Nacho, and Lalo? Okay, Lalo is not going to make it out of the season, I don't think, because he's one of the big bads, and so I think that's, you're going to tie up those ends. Nacho, fuck. Nacho gets such a fucking great moment in episode fucking two. The way this show is able to weave in more heightened like shootouts and shit is so impressive, like in a natural way. There's a big shootout in episode two, Roxy, and it's so fucking cool. It's just so cool. The way the show, and it's a trick they picked up from Breaking Bad, the way they're able to dramatize and visualize a character thinking is incredible. Instead of like people like using exposition, you're just sitting on a character processing something. And like, cause there's a long extended sequence in episode two where Nacho's just watching this house and you're like, why the fuck is he watching his house? And then as things unfurl, you're like, oh, and it's cool to watch a show where characters are like ahead of you on stuff. Like they're two steps ahead. It's like, oh fuck, that's great. And of course, Gus is so amazing. Nacho. I love Nacho. I think that actor's great. I do not think he's going to make it out of the season. The deck is stacked so hard against Nacho that I don't see.
And that would make sense for the universe.
Yeah, it would make sense for the universe. I am secretly hoping, because it's not a perfect comparison, but he's kind of the Jesse of the show, and Jesse was able to get out of Breaking Bad, and so my fingers crossed for Nacho.
Maybe they want
to
do a movie for Nacho.
I would watch it, Roxy. God, I would fucking watch it. But the deck is stacked so hard against him, like. I was surprised he made it out of episode two this season. Like, I just don't see how he makes it out of the situation he's in. And Kim is the wild card, because Kim is at this point in the show functionally Jimmy, Saul, except better at everything, which also means that she's kind of more evil. And I don't see a reality where she dies. That doesn't, it just doesn't feel like that's the reality she's in. Like, Nacho's being hunted by the cartel. Like, his life expectancy is not very high. Kim's just a lawyer. Like, you know what I mean? I don't know why she would die. She might go to jail.
Are you saying all this? I'm trying to remember because I did watch season one. I'm
yeah. Like so going all the way back. Like, hey, who are we talking about?
Yeah.
I know you watch a billion.
She was great, right? Kim, the
Rhea Seahorn. She's so fucking good. Yeah, I think she will either end up in jail or maybe just a more successful Jimmy. Like, she became an even more successful criminal than Jimmy is, and so that's why we don't hear her in Breaking Bad, because she's off doing white-collar crimes. I don't know. Those are my predictions. We'll see. Roxy, I know you watch a billion shows, but if you get a chance, do yourself a gosh dang favor and catch up on Better Call Saul, because it's so fucking good.
Okay.
Back to a show we both watch.
Probably will at some point.
This is us catching up. This is me and Roxy catching up on shows that we've put on the back burner, but I wanted to touch on them because we both watched them. Winning Time. And I think this is a particularly good episode to talk about Winning Time with you, Roxy, because this is where our boys, the Lakers, play Boston.
It's so tough, DJ.
And there's like a whole mythology of why Boston sucks. Like, I was really rooting against Boston.
I know. Yeah. Okay. So here are a few things. Cause I actually got like a ton of text messages from my friends after this episode.
Interesting.
Not my Boston friends, okay. My non-Boston friends.
Curious.
Being like, is this what Larry Bird is like? Is it, how do you feel about being from Boston? So I love the show Winning Time.
Yeah.
I'm loving the show. I'm a massive, massive fan of basketball and the NBA. So I love the show. The show is not historically accurate.
Like,
so
at all. Like, every episode comes out, there's a thing like, well, here's all the things that are wrong. And it makes me think like, well, then what are we doing?
So because of that, I actually have no qualms with the episode, because like, they just, you know, like Jeannie busts the girl, like in this show, she's like the savior. Now she's the owner of the Lakers. Yeah. She's a producer on the show.
Wow.
She's the producer of the show.
Yeah. Cause like, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Magic Johnson all like, no, this sucks. We weren't involved. And it's like, wait, what are we doing?
Yeah. So like as a TV show, I'm liking this a lot. It's really dramatic. There's heroes and villains. I'm having a lot of fun with it. I love watching like the stylization of it. It's cool as shit.
Yeah.
So I wasn't bothered by this episode because this is a scripted fiction series. Like, that doesn't mean that I think that was the smartest choice for the series, but like, I'm really loving the show. What is true about Larry Bird is that he's known as being an extreme shit talker.
You know? Interesting.
So that is true. He's known as like, not in this like villainous way that this show presented, but he's a smack talker on the court, as a lot of basketball players are. His team loves him and other teams are like, ugh. But Magic Johnson and Larry Bird are like this. I mean, they like, so for Larry Bird's retirement party, Magic Johnson went with a Larry Bird Celtics shirt on, and with a Lakers jersey over it, and then like took it off to reveal. So like, they, you know, they might be like arch rivals in this show, and there was a big rivalry between them, but they are not like, they don't hate each other.
Yeah.
So he's a smack talker, and Boston fans are known as being some of the most challenging fans in the entire league.
That comes NBA. Across in the episode.
Yes, of course. But in a way that's so cartoonish in this, you know, like in a way, all of Boston, I'm talking about the Red Sox, the Patriots, the Bruins, and the Celtics, Boston fans are notoriously hated by people. But here's what I will say. We're the best of the best and the worst of the worst. The best of the best of us are people who grew up, and I painted this picture for people because like, it matters. Mm-hmm. You're growing up somewhere that it's fucking freezing.
Yeah.
It is fucking freezing. Sometimes it is -7 degrees there. And the best thing you can do is become a sports fan, because anything that keeps you away from drugs when it's that fucking cold, which is why we have such a crazy heroin epidemic in Massachusetts, is like the better choice. So people, they hang on sports like it is their it, like it's everything to them. Yeah. In California, in Florida, in Texas, in places that people really love their teams, it is not the same as it being like your only activity for 8 months of the year.
Yeah.
Where like that is what you have, you know, like that's what you have. You go to the one thing you leave your house to do is go to the Boston Garden. Mm-hmm. Or like, and that's like the biggest event of the. So the fans are insanely obsessed, the same as New York fans, insanely yeah. obsessed with their teams because it's like their life.
Yeah.
And so I'm not excusing any poor behavior, but the level of fandom there, it and the way that you are a fan there is different than it is in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Where here, it's one of 8,000 things people do. Mm-hmm. Because that day you probably went to the beach, you went sailing, you went mini golfing, then you popped into the game.
Yeah.
And so it's just like a completely different lifestyle. So people hate Boston sports fans because they're so intense. They're so insane. And, you know, I have been at the Boston Garden and I've seen when we were playing the Lakers, I saw two Celtics fans spit on a girl walking by. I saw that with my own eyes. Mm-hmm. That's disgusting.
Yeah.
You don't excuse that behavior. Yeah. And so there are some Boston sports fans where it's like, oh, man, I've seen after wins and losses, us burn cars in the street and flip them after both wins and losses.
Yes.
That's insane. We don't support that. But is it like that on the reg? Are we just like these hooligans who are awful to everybody? No, we're just very passionate people. So the shit talking makes sense. But we're not doing anything like on the regular above and beyond to make it so that people hate the Boston. And this show painted like a scene of Boston fans that was just, it's disgusting, you know? And you, so
Boston was clearly the villain. Like the villain. City of Boston was the villain.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I believe that Boston was the first team ever to have a starting five that was all of all Black people. Like there's some incredible things that obviously aren't being touched upon. Like, and the way that this is being played, that's like Larry Bird was more loved because he was white. That's absolutely true of the time. You think about segregation, you think about racism. Of course that's true.
Yeah.
But like, it's not like we didn't have Bill Russell who wasn't dealing with the same issues even earlier than Magic Johnson was dealing with, you know? So I just think that this show uses what's convenient for it. I just went on a whole long ramble to say that I love the show, but it's not real. It's not real.
Yeah, and it's just weird to me how not real it is. And maybe it feels weirder because it's more recent history. Like, it's one thing when you find out like Our Flag Means Death, because that's also based off a historical figure, is like playing fast and loose with some stuff. It's like, well, yeah, that's hundreds of years ago. Like, what do you and it's a comedy, and the only account we have is from another pirate who was probably lying. So it's like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, so we in the Discord, Glenn Caesar says, what are your thoughts and feelings about Jerry West's character in Winning Time? Apparently he's unhappy with Adam McKay suing him / the producers and the show for the show's quote false and defamatory depiction of him and wants a retraction. I think like Roxy just said, the show's fake. It's not historically accurate and all, but also that does sound a lot like the character is depicted in the show. That sounds like that character's response to this show.
Yeah. It's also the other person that, the announcer, what the fuck's his name? I'm forgetting right now.
I don't remember either, but yeah, I know what you're talking about.
The main announcer across from Adrian Brody's character when they're doing the announce. He is like, my brother is a sports broadcaster in Boston, and like that guy is notorious for being the nicest human being of all time.
Oh, shit.
So it's like kind of wild
to
watch how, like, who knows who somebody pissed off or who pissed in your cereal, but like that guy's supposed to be known for being like a sweetheart, and we're watching something so different. So I think that there's a lot of people who are really upset with their portrayals in this. Everybody but Jeannie Buss, who looks like the savior of the world because she's the producer of the show. And so it's just like,
why didn't we just do a fictional team? If this is how we were going to go, just do a lightly just call it a different name. And it's like, we made something up, but it's based off the Lakers.
A lot of truth. There's a lot of truth in there.
Yeah.
So that's the weird part. Like if you're going to lie, but it's a good show. So
yeah, we're all watching it. So before we go, I think, The Flight Attendant just premiered, but I think we'll save that for next time, since that's, we're probably only 3 episodes in.
We're only two. It dropped cool. two episodes yesterday, and on the 28th, it will have its third.
Cool. So we'll catch up on that next time. Just before we move on, good season two?
Yes, it's very good. Season two is very good. I don't think the show should have ever been nominated for an Emmy, and it was nominated for several, but it's good.
Hey, listen, it was early pandemic, was dark times. What are we gonna do?
This and Emily in Paris. I was like, what is happening?
Let's go with the show that you've
yeah.
caught up on, you've watched.
So there's six. Yeah, it's only six episode show. It's the Samuel L. Jackson show, and it's called Last Days of Ptolemy Gray. And it is excellently done. This is an excellently done show that I don't know that I recommend that people watch right now if you are not well. It is the saddest show I have seen in years. Cool. I mean, it is like such a depressing show. It is so well done that it should be nominated for Emmys.
Yeah.
It is excellently done. But like watching this show, I was like, oh my God, I should not be doing this to myself right now. Yeah. We're dealing with Samuel L. Jackson's character, Ptolemy Gray, who in the show has dementia. And this is not spoilers. It's all set up in the first episode. The premise of the show is that his nephew is killed and he meets this, Ptolemy Gray meets this like brain doctor who says he can give him back all of his memories, but only for a short period of time. And so he takes back all of his memories. And in that period of time, he decides to try to find the person who killed his nephew.
Oh shit.
So, so it's fascinating and he's incredible. All of the actors in the show are unbelievable, but we're flashing back to, now that he has all of his memories, we're flashing back to lynchings. We're flashing back to extreme racism. We're flashing back. There's such severe violence. This is a show that we are watching. Like, I was watching this just like holding back tears for six. Every episode is like 54 minutes and it's six episodes. And for each one, I was like, okay, here we go. Holy shit, here we go. It's just such a hard watch. And so without spoilers, there are moments of relief. Like, we do accomplish certain things throughout our journey that make it like, okay, fuck yeah, let's do this. Mm-hmm. But in general, I only would recommend this show right now if you are in the mood for like a severely depressing show. It's so sad.
Cool.
Yeah, but I know that's weird to say, but like, I like to give people that warning because it's so good, but it's like the bleakest of the bleak.
So we're continuing, because this is Apple TV, yeah?
Yes.
So we're continuing the trend of Apple TV making good product. It's just, you got to be ready for...
Yeah. On that note, We Crashed had its finale last night and it was excellent, DJ. Apple TV is just like knocking it out of the park right now.
Is it excellent enough to get me over the Jared Leto hump?
I didn't love the first half of the season as much as I like that. Like, he gets way better. At first, his accent is unbearable. It's hard to watch.
Gotcha.
But these two characters, you like can't stand them. So mm-hmm. it's great, you know, because most people can't stand Anne Hathaway. Not most people, but she's an amazing actress.
Yeah, and I still don't know why. I don't know what Anne Hathaway did.
She had an anti-cannabis crusade that I really didn't like.
That's fair. I didn't hear about that. That's fair.
she just like is like, I don't talk about that because that's not like, she said a few things that I was like, ugh, Anne Hathaway, no, don't do this to me. But other than that, I think she just irks some people, which I'm putting that aside, she hasn't done anything wrong, and she's very talented, so I'll watch her in anything, even though she's not my favorite.
Yeah.
Jared Leto has done a lot of things wrong and is not as talented as Anne Hathaway, and especially not in roles where he has to have thick accents, where he's playing an Israeli man. He's not just playing a Jew, he's playing an Israeli man.
Yeah.
That's like, people don't seem to get, I don't get what our lines are. What are our lines?
Yeah, we need to figure it out. We need to hammer it out. I will say, on shows with a problematic lead, but the actor is at least partially Jewish, Tokyo Vice is good enough to get me over the Ansel Elgort
hump. Really?
And it also has one of my favorite scenes in any show this year. There's a scene.
No way.
Yeah, it's so and the other thing is, there's a lot of incredible, like Rinko Kikuchi is doing incredible work. Ken Watanabe is, of course, incredible. There's a lot of great Japanese actors, Japanese directors. There's just a lot of like, So it's hard to be like, well, this one guy sucks, so don't watch the show. It's like, yeah, but all these other people are doing such good work. But yeah, there's a moment, his character, Ansel Elgort's character, is being driven by this Yakuza guy, and Backstreet Boys' I Want It That Way comes on, and the Yakuza guy starts singing to it. And he's like, Ansel Elgort's like, what are you doing? And he's like, I love this song. And they have a moment where they just talk about Backstreet Boys and start singing together. I'm like, this is fucking... Michael Mann didn't direct this episode, but this is the shit I love in Michael Mann projects, where it's just two people connecting. Like, it's just like, if you look at the diner scene in Thief and you look at the diner scene in Heat, it's just something. Anyway, whatever. It's an incredible scene. And it's so great. It's again, because of the Ansel Elgort, it's difficult for me to go, everybody should watch Tokyo Vice, but also it's so good. Fuck, it's so good. Anyway, I think that's it. Next time, we'll talk about Flight Attendant. I'm hoping by next time I'll have seen Northman, An Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. And so for those that are just joining us for what we're into, this is the show, what we're into. We do it every week on Patreon, patreon.com/onlystupidanswers. We also do, Sal and I do Spider-Versity. So go check out, become a patron. Roxy, tell them about Bitch Out of Water. Tell them where they can find you.
Bitch Out of Water, it's our new podcast from the World Girls. You can find it everywhere podcasts are, or if you're feeling like you don't know, just theworldgirls.com/podcast, and that will bring you to all of the places. I'm at Roxy Stryer, and I really hope you check that out and listen. It actually makes a difference if you guys leave a 5-star review. That's like the way. And I know a lot of times we're tapping you guys for money, but right now we're tapping you for your soul instead and your fingertips. So please help us out over there.
We just want you to go and look at those 5 stars and click the 5th one. That's all we're asking of you. Go
use your eyes and your fingers, maybe your nose, you know, whatever.
You're scrolling through your phone. Just take 2 seconds away from liking cat pictures. I do it too. And just do the five stars on Bitch Out of Water, please. And thank you. You can find me at DJ Talks Trash. You can find the show everywhere that matters at Only Stupid Answers, but on Twitter.
Yank out the vowels from stupid.
So the way this is going to go down is, I know last week I was like, our 300th episode, and we did record it, but it's going to take me a minute to put it together. So that will probably come out next week, but it's going to be incredible. So stay tuned for
how are your notes. You took them?
I took my notes. Good notes. We will see once I sit down in front of Premiere to see whether I did a good job or not. I want to thank everybody that joined us live, and we will see you all next time.